Welcome to the My House Podcast, a show about the past, present, and future goings-on at the My House Youth Drop-In Center in Wasilla, Alaska, with your host, Michelle Overstreet.
Welcome to episode 68 of the My House Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Overstreet, and today I'm joined by Isaac Smolden, of course, and Esther Pitts, the CEO of the Matsu Health Foundation, and Tyler, I forgot your last name, Healy from the Matsu Health Foundation. Thank you for joining us today. Tyler, it's been a pleasure to work with you. I'm so happy that that you have that position and we've had the opportunity to just kind of get to know you and have a flow of information and guidance, and I'm really grateful for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure, and we're on a first name basis, obviously.
Right? Yeah. The last name's on a need to know. Very good. When we talk about partnership and collaboration, what's the gold standard for the Matsu Health Foundation? What part of it do you feel like transforms communities and really that can we help amplify to make this a better place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a great question. You know, I would say with how what we're leaning into right now is it's back to the fundamentals of what you just said, like about relationship. It's not about the transactional part of relationship. It's about really when you are building relationship, you listen, right? You acknowledge other people's strengths and their expertise and their history. And then you really assess, you don't come in and say like, this is what I'm doing. You say like, how can I add value? And how can we link arms in endeavor to make a thriving community?
Oh, I love that. And I particularly enjoy the part about really, coming alongside and understanding the mission. I think the model of My House is easily misunderstood because it is different. But I also think it's, I think you have to come here and feel it to really get what we do. And I think there's a piece of it that has that youth energy. And I think that can be intimidating for people. Homeless youth can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just don't want to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And when we first opened up this drop-in center, it was there was a business across the street that was like, oh, no, I'm not operating anywhere near that. I don't want those kids in my neighborhood. And I remember the mayor saying, well, we don't know who the kids are that are going to come yet. I mean, I kind of did because I came from Burchell High School. And I was like, well, we kind of do. but the truth was that we didn't know how they would respond to services, right? There had never been services like this in the community before. And so I really love that honoring that and really getting to know the youth we serve, getting to know the program, walking through the door and feeling the love that we have for them and the care and sometimes the angst that is part of that teenage experience and just understanding that that's part of it. That's part of what we're here for. You know, you can't just be here for the good stuff. And I like that you're willing to walk that walk with us. Mm-hmm. That's cool to me. Like, awesome.
Yeah, I don't want to go like jump too far around my run a show, but I'm just going to ruin my order of operations right off the bat.
Do it.
Because I think that the perfect example of what you're describing from the foundation that I got to see was both yourself and Tyler. And so like I think I've met surely most of the employees of the Matsu Health Foundation because you guys started serving supper club once a month, like 6 months ago.
That was
I think the perfect example of how, you know, the foundation can come alongside and get involved with a program that's already doing great things, but adding value to that and really learning and understanding the feeling of what, you know, we do here and what this building feels like. And I think it was a perfect example too for us and for our staff to see that, you know, this is really, we are supported by a community and by partners that truly do care about the well-being of the clients that we serve.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things, the supper club, you're on it a little bit now, but that piece of us at the Matsu Health Foundation really like saying, hey, we want to serve. I cannot tell you how much we've gotten back from that, right? And then we know that when you give of yourself, when you extend yourself, and it's not necessarily in your strength, but it's sometimes in your, like, am I uncomfortable with this? Do we know what we're doing? The dividends that we've gotten, I would have to say, bar none in my time as the CEO here, that is the point where I was like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like I'm in the place where I need to be, because you get so detached from the work at times. Sometimes we talk about, like, the work that we do, and it feels transactional. It kind of is. Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity to come in and just be in community, right? It's not about, like, oh, the Matsu Health Foundation. We are the people. It's coming in, wearing your, rolling up your sleeves, having someone made chili the morning before, mm-hmm. and then just sitting and hearing the youth talk about their dreams and their challenges and seeing community. Like, when we did it, I left and I cried and I told my husband, I was like, I'm doing the right thing. I knew it. But it had been a hot minute before I felt that connection to community. And sometimes we get lost in the work that we lose sight of, like, what are we doing this for? Mm-hmm. And so I got ministered more to than we did there, because it was just like being amongst the youth and hearing their vision and seeing the laughter and seeing some of the tears or like the shoulder rub. That is the heart of what we want to lean into.
Yeah. Tyler, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, it's been a really fun experience, and it brought me back to some of the work that I've been doing previously, mm-hmm. Directly nice. Connected to youth work, of course. And so to see the commitment from the Health Foundation, mm-hmm. from the top down to being involved in community in that way, was really refreshing and reassuring to me as a fairly new employee, to see that, yeah, that it's not just lip service. We want to be out there, you know, literally breaking bread with organizations and people that are in the community. And I think that it was also a really great opportunity to have many of our coworkers know more about My House from that. That kind of direct feel, as you mentioned, when you walk in this building, and I'm assuming it'll be the same situation at the new facility, there is a sense of warmth, of welcoming, mm-hmm. And it was really valuable for myself personally, I think the rest of our team, to be able to experience that.
Yeah, we really enjoyed meeting the people from the different departments and learning about what they do. And, you know, the clients didn't have any idea that it was a funding organization or that there was any relationship like that. They were just like, oh, okay.
And I love that. <You know? laughs> Yes.
And I thought that it was great, because it let the authenticity be in place from their perspective. They didn't have to try to be something or do something different. They could just do what they always do.
Absolutely.
And share and, you know, laugh and cry and complain and do teenage things. But yes. But one of the things I really love about that event is and people sometimes talk about, you know, the capacity of My House. There's sort of this mythological thing out there, like anybody knows what the capacity is, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that for people that have come and sat at that table and understood the heart that we have for our clients, the willingness of our staff to go the distance and do the things, to put the things in order. We just had a CARF survey that we just smashed. I mean, I'm not bragging, but we killed it.
Awesome.
And they surveyed 1,500 different or 1,700 different aspects of our program and made 10 recommendations. There were no corrections. There were no dings. It was like, I mean, they left here just going, oh my God, we love what you do. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, I'm you know, in a place where I hear about the capacity, and I think that when you sit at that table, you really understand that the capacity is anchored in the desire to serve the clients that we serve, and that we'll figure it out. If we don't have it nailed, we'll nail it, and we'll figure it out. And I think there's commitment and there's integrity in that.
Yes.
And I really like the fact that your team just came and sat with us in that space, because mm-hmm. it speaks to more than just food and a meal. So thank you for that.
I love that it wasn't just the program leads. It wasn't just the, like, you know, Telsha and Jesse and Rachel. It was like, your guys' IT guy was here 1 month and your guys's security guy was here 1 month. Like it was everyone. And that, like, there were conversations and, you know, just connections that happened between, like, our peers and your IT guy or your security guy and our, you know, one of our administrative people or a bookkeeper. Like it was so, you know, all inclusive, right? It wasn't just our community team and your community team. It was everyone. I do have a question, Tyler, when you are talking about, you know, kind of your past work, cause you have your previous life and very hands-on, you know, as the director at Youth 360, how has this transition been for you, kind of going from, you know, someone that's in the trenches to now trying to offer support at more of the 30,000 foot level?
Yeah, it's been exciting in many ways to be able to be involved in strategy and higher level discussions about the overall health and well-being of people in the Mat-Su, which is such a broad-reaching mission. It's almost hard to get your hands around it a little bit. So it really invigorated me, but it didn't take long, as I mentioned earlier, for me to kind of have that, boy, it would be nice to be able to pop into a youth program right now and kind of fill my cup up a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I've been able to, you know, find some other ways to help fill that need. And you know, handing that work off to other really accomplished people and whatnot makes me feel good as well. But yeah, the Health Foundation just has such a unique position in our community to be able to impact so many different areas, but also to have the longer term vision and take steps towards those visions. And I think it was really cool for me to come in and be able to pop into Esther's office or our other leadership team members and have those connections and feel like you're involved in something bigger while also learning from a partnership lens from the many people around the community that are doing the work, that are there face to face with people. Especially in my focus area, the Healthy Minds focus area, you know, we work with lots of organizations that are oftentimes serving people at their darkest hour. And so that's not easy work. To be able to have a deeper understanding of the full scope of caring, committed people in the community that are picking up the phones, that are answering the doors, that are giving supper clubs and all these types of things, not just in my house, but many others serving people across the lifespan has really opened my eyes to the importance of that reactive, treatment-based work coming from the prevention world. With Youth 360, I'm still a wholehearted believer in primary prevention. I think that is, we all agree that that's an area where we would love to see our community, our state, our country, our world lean into more heavily. But there's people out there that that need help on a day-to-day basis, and the foundation has the opportunity to really work strategically with folks, connect with organizations that are doing that are putting their hearts out there to serve people in need. So that's been very valuable for me, even if I am another layer to remove from direct work. But I know I can pop in here. I can go back to the Youth 360 clubs. You know, my 9-year-old's playing Little League baseball, so I can hang out with the kids and that type of thing. So, you know, that type of connection with kids and community members doesn't stop. It just happens in a different way now.
I think the longer I spend, you know, just here at my house and my family moved to the Valley when I was 13. So I've been here for about 14 years now. So for you, Esther, something I realize is how really blessed we are to have the connectedness that we do out here. And I know sometimes, I'm sure for people, it doesn't always feel like it, but when you take a step back and look at the Mat-Su compared to other spots in Alaska, other spots around the country, we have so many people doing the work. And to your point, Tyler, at, you know, from infant care to elder care, to from education to treatment to prevention, like everything in between, there's so many nonprofits, there's so many community organizations that, you know, are able to support this continuum that we have out here. And I think, you know, for you, you've been at your position for a little over a year now, right?
Yes.
The low-hanging fruit whenever, you know, I do an interview is, oh, what's the biggest challenge that you faced in that first year, right? But maybe if I could reframe that question as, you know, to me, it seems like we have such a great opportunity as a community. And since starting your role, what is your vision and what do you see? What opportunities do you see for us as a community to really strengthen and use that for the betterment of all MATSU residents?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I am a firm believer that in order to get to the next level of anything, you often have to go back to the basics, right? And so as I've come in this first year and am carrying on really after a legacy leader, so my predecessor there, 16, almost 17 years, and that's a little, it's difficult how many times you hear like, oh my gosh, you got some big shoes to fill, how are, you know? And so there's a little bit, you have to be careful that there's not a crisis of identity of like, who am I going to be and who am I moving into? And you know, the philanthropic organization itself and the beast or beauty that it is, mm-hmm. is not where it's like not my background. Right. Mm-hmm. And so stepping into it, I had to really wrestle it first with, and I'm going to get to your question. I had to wrestle it first with, am I doing this right? Oh my gosh. How do I need to show up in order to carry on, and not break what is here, right? And so it took me a few months is what I would say, is really, really struggling with how do I see this next stage of the foundation being? What does my leadership mean in relation to what we have here in the Valley and what I think we could do? And it came back to, in order to get to the next level, and through my interview, they were like, we want the next person to take it to the next level. And I remember they had I will always remember this, but they had me do a TED talk, like one of the two less people. And I had to like create my own TED talk and do it. And I looked really good. I, you know, dressed up. And my whole TED talk was on, I want to be in community. I want us to be part of community. I want us to go back to the basics of relationship. I want us to go back to the basics of partnership and, the concept of humility, because I am a believer that when you show up in humility, it's the strongest position that you can. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It means mm-hmm. that you're willing to acknowledge others around you. And so I think one of the greatest things that I've seen here in the Valley that we can really lean into is not agreement, but unity, right? So yeah. We can do anything together. And when we have the ability to get into the same room and say, we want to, or get behind my house when they're like, we need to see a change for our youth. We need to have a place of respite. We need to have a place of innovation and of, you know, support. Really being able to link arms, it's going to come. I think my time here at the foundation will really be about relationship and how do we force multiply the vision in what we can bring to the table. It's really been interesting to me in the last, I would say week, I've met with a few different business leaders and I've heard probably five times, I said, we don't need your money. What we need is your partnership. Yeah. We need your support. And so what I see here in the Valley, we've got everything we need.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And we just need to come together. And it's happened, it's happening, but that's how I want to position ourselves is how do we exist and support and play the different roles and positions that we need to really help push and propel some of these mission, vision, values forward?
We have so much human capital.
Absolutely.
Here. We have so much intensity around and a caring population of people that want to help, that yes. want to be part of it. Tyler, one thing I really appreciate about you is your curiosity, and you have a spark about you that is, it extends that curiosity into a momentum. And I feel like that's a really sweet thing to bring to the table. I appreciate, Esther, about you always being open to the communication and really looking at what the lay of the land is and, you know, identifying some of those markers for, you know, not just a clinical measurement for data, but how does it feel?
Yeah.
Does it feel welcoming? Are we extending the olive branch in a way that is effective? You and I have had several of those conversations yes. where it's like, you know, okay, we're trying this, maybe this.
yes.
And sometimes you don't know, but I think the willingness to try, the mm-hmm. willingness to be out there and vulnerable is so much healthier in real life.
Yes.
Than the sort of lockdown linear process that might seem safer. Mm-hmm. But as a community, there's an ebb and flow that we can all participate in so much more readily
yeah.
if we're all in it together, that mental, emotional, physical capital.
Yes.
And it feels better to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really appreciate that about both of you and feel like there's a new era.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new feeling around. And I love that you said that there are business people who were saying, we don't want your money, but what we do want is for you to be with
Absolutely,
us.
Absolutely, yes. Right? Yes.
That's so exciting to me.
Yes, me too.
The idea that we can all come together and work together. And our social enterprises, our educational social enterprises, when we started doing job training, there were people that came and said, you're going to open another coffee shop, but we have a coffee shop and we don't want to compete with you.
Mm-hmm.
And my response to that was, we don't want to compete with you. We want you to tell us how to train employees for you.
Yes.
Send. We have these kids that need mad skills. Tell us how you want us to train them. We'll send them back to you.
Yes.
And it was a complete paradigm shift in what their perception of what we were doing was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay. You're not competition. You're trying to get jobs for kids and train them for jobs.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just one example of how in a community, if you really have that communication open, we can all work together for yeah. better.
Absolutely.
And it's lovely.
Yeah.
I apologize because I have asked a lot of questions that weren't on our run of show, but I, you know, that's just where the conversation is.
About
is
on a run of show. I know. That always happens.
In order,
I even highlighted my answers here. Jeez.
Because I know that you are both busy and supporting so many other organizations in the continuum. Before we go, I do want to make sure that I provide both of you with the opportunity to talk about, on top of the relationships and all the stuff that you guys have done behind the scenes and serving Supper Club, talk about the project and the grant that we partnered on and that we were, we're so blessed to have received from your organization, courtesy of the work that you, Tyler, have put in and Esther, your advocacy and the board of directors. I want to start with Tyler. You know, we've had some conversations about that this was really one of your very first big projects that you spearheaded since accepting the position. What was it about, you know, this project and working with My House that you wanted to prioritize?
Yeah, well, I've talked a little bit about my background, and so I think my background in youth work kind of lined up nicely with the project. And then, you know, really for me, it was an opportunity to carry the foundation's priorities forward, you know, under new-ish leadership with Esther. We've talked a lot about being in community, and I've always viewed My House as an organization that really embodies that. I've seen especially after being in this project and learning more about your history, where you are now, where you'd like to go, I think what's struck me has been the creativity and responsiveness to community needs that that my house has shown over the years. You know, I don't think, Michelle, when you started this, you envisioned things like job training programs and whatnot. But just to use an example, that's what your clients needed. That's that, and so now that's kind of a core pillar of what you do. And so, with this amazing opportunity through the Carson Cottle Center and the federal funding that's standing that thing up. You know, we really felt like it was an exciting project that we should be involved in, that will not only, you know, open up a new building, have a shiny place to go. It's going to be very shiny and beautiful, and we're all very excited about that. But for me, for the organization and the community, I really saw it as a chance to help bridge this organization into, you know, a long-term vision of not just sustainability, but visibility, connection in the community. And so, you know, really quickly, after reading a lot and a few conversations with both of you to really get a sense of what was planned in that new building, the vision became clear of maintaining kind of the heart and the core, the creativity, the responsiveness to needs that's kind of driven my house over the years, to long-term success and health. And so it felt a little daunting at times for my first grant. But, you know, I wanted to dive in head first and learn as much as possible. I'm glad that I was able to work with a partner that was open to all my questions, because I had a lot of learning to do, and it turned into a awesome, very collaborative process, I think. And so, yeah, when you cut the ribbon on that place, it's not the finish line, it's the starting line.
Yes.
And we view that, and I also want to make sure that we're carrying that ethic of collaboration, of being in community forward. We're not just writing you a check, so to speak. We want to be part of this, and I'm super honored to have been involved in this process and hopefully continue on for a long time.
Yeah, I hope so too. It's been really fun, and I did really enjoy the collaborative back and forth, you know, the questions, and then there were so many things that we tried to really put thought into on the front side with the Youth Advisory Board and really asking them questions. We just had last week we were meeting with the restaurateur that's running the Wild Iris Cafe in there, and the production area in the back that will feed all the 64 beds upstairs and offer catering for events there. And we had the equipment list and, you know, the plans out. It's freezing, right? Because it's just not been warm. And we're looking at the plans and we're looking in the space, and he turned to me and said, "Do you think that the kids are going to want to eat like their meals in their rooms, or are they going to want to eat in the community rooms that are on the, you know, the ends of the program spaces, or are they going to want to eat in the cafe?" And I said, "Oh, I never thought about that, but I need to ask them." And there was a guy there that had not been up to the table with us before. And he goes, "Okay, so get with them and then get back to me." And I said, "Okay, I'll let you know." Because that changes how, if they put a little buffet line in there where they come down and get their meals. And the guy later said, "So you go back and ask the kids how they want to do things." And I said, "This whole program, this whole building was built with me going back and asking them, what do you want the building to look like? How do you want it to serve us and the community? It has to engage the community. What do you want it to feel like in there?" When we started to paint on the walls, you know, I thought that I had some kind of an idea about what might be cool for the paint on the walls. Isaac is laughing because I came to the Youth Advisory Board and said, "What colors of paint do you guys want on the walls?" And I didn't say anything about what I thought would be great. and they were so opinionated, and it was so immediate that it was like visceral. And I was like,
we had a 2-hour youth board of directors meeting about paint that I was a part of.
We did.
And it's going to make the building all the better.
Oh, yeah. Man. And I had no idea. I just sat and listened. And they had there was conversation about institutionalism. There was conversation about incarceration, about the colors that are associated with that. I mean, I learned so much in that 2 hours just sitting there listening to how they feel when they go into a space. I now understand why the cafe looks like it does, because they painted that. And when it started out, it was like green and, you know, white, and they came in and painted it by hand all themselves, putting what they wanted in. And you look in the corner where they started, and it's like real concrete coffee beans and coffee cups. Then you get over to the other side, and it's like mermaids and music notes, and you know, they could say they really let it fly. But that was a really tiny, simple thing that we could have screwed up by not asking, and it would have felt completely different to them. And so when it came to the food, I said to Josh Broda from the Chop House this weekend, I said, I really want them to have an understanding that we want it to be comfortable for them. And the two kids that I asked about it so far said, well, why don't we do it like Supper Club? Because they like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that kind of warms my heart. And I like that. But I also don't want to assume.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because you don't know what their experience will be. So that has been really fun. And I feel like you gave us the ability to do that in the scope of what we were doing, and understood that that was sort of our jumping off spot. And I think it's going to be an amazing outcome.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As we close, Esther, I think just personally, everything that you describe when you're talking about relationships, about coming alongside, I have seen, you know, I think that you are executing on that vision flawlessly. I mean, I have really, and not just with my work at my house, but out and about at, you know, with the stuff that I do in hockey or, you know, baseball or this community event that I'm going to, like it, I have really seen, I think, your vision for the foundation come to fruition over the course of the last year. And so with this project and just with everything, how do you think that this project helps support the vision that you have for the work that the foundation is going to continue to do over the next couple of decades?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bedrock project to look back on what can be accomplished when we're driven by really our desire to support community, to lean into community, and to bring our skills and assets, all of us together. You know, I want to talk about just for a second here, Tyler, like it was his first project. The thing I loved is he's such a go-getter, and, you know, we had a timeline, right? So I love the communication. It was like, hey, here's what we're looking at. You know, we've got a kind of a stringent little process that we do, and it takes a bit of months. So once you have an idea, months down the road before you can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Tyler came and said, hey, here's what we're talking about. What are we thinking about this? And I said, what do you think about that? And he's like, I could get it done. And I'm like, dude, let's do this. And so it was so beautiful. What you don't probably see, and what you see a little bit on the outside, but the inside, it was so beautiful to see the rallying of the team to say, like, how are we going in, and how are we going to accomplish this together? How are we not going to necessarily comply with all of our check boxes, but how are we going to say, how are we leaning in to support you? The board, my goodness, this is such a fulfillment for our board members. They were, you know, when Tyler was giving his program committee, like, presentation of this kind of a large gift, right? Large grant.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you look at it and they'll present it to me and I'll be like, you're going to have a hard time with this one. Or, hey, this is good. I'm like, dude, this is going to be like a carnival. You're going to bring it in front. And, you know, like, it was because all the hard work was done. You all, to your point, Tyler's like, I'm asking for a lot of questions, but the relationship build, it's not about the work. It's how you do the work. And this was a really great demonstration of it wasn't, you all leaned in, your team, like our teams leaned in like none other. And Michelle, you as a CEO, you leaned in so much, right? And our team did. And it was every time that we, that I communicated and that we were leaning in on this, it was like, wow, this is so awesome. And I think there was clapping at the board meeting when this was presented, because we, to our earlier point, we're removed from the work a bit, right? It can feel transactional. It feels like a money deal, but it's so much more. And it really provided a connection to the mission. That's why we get into the work.
Yeah.
And we can't lose the people. We can't lose the faces behind this. And so it brought so much joy to our team to be able to have said, we feel like we did a good job.
Yeah.
We feel like we supported those that are on the front line who are doing the work. And it just, like, it's still carrying with me. It's still carrying with our team. Like, wow. Like, we're kind of proud of ourselves. It's not because of the money. We're proud because of how we worked in community. Yeah. And so I would just say all accolades to really the team that is showing up. We're building, we have a great team, but we're continuing to build such a team that is like, how do we remain flexible? How do we remain innovative to where, you know, to your point, it's not always about like this really strict, linear, analytical thing. What's the magic? And when you come and you come to the supper club, whoa, you see the magic. And how many times do people accomplish things that people say, oh, you can never do that?
Right.
Because you have that, whatever it is, whether it's relationship, I would say love. When I came to the supper club, I felt the love that people had for each other. And so this is going to be, again, really one of the things that we're going to lean on. And how do we approach this? Maybe we're dealing with something over here. How do we lean in with those same principles to be able to work together? Because, again, this is not the end. This is just the beginning.
That's
and
it.
So we're in it with you. And we really respect you greatly for the work that you do. And we are honored. You know, Tyler said we're honored. We're honored to be part of this, you know, and we
thank
feel
you.
It's a privilege to have even a small piece. And so thanks for the time today. Thank you for, you know, continuing to come to the table with us. And I'm excited to see what the future has.
Me too. It's been my pleasure. And I will say that in that process, it felt a little vulnerable for me. A couple times I had to like close my door and check myself a little bit like, okay, I got this, you know?
Yeah.
And not because of anything that I felt was risky, just, you know, kind of overcoming that fear of stepping into that space, you know?
Yes.
And so I hope that more leaders will do that. I hope that there's more opportunities for engagement to that extent where I feel like you really you get us, like for the first time ever, you really get us. And that, that magic piece that, that makes it so fun.
Yes.
To be, to be doing the things that we're doing.
Yes.
And I had so, recently I had a leader who say, you know, you're really not supposed to have that much fun doing this work. And I said, well, can I just tell you that there's a dark side to this work that if you don't find the joy and the fun, it will crush you.
Yes.
Because it there's sadness, there's loss, there's grief, and you have to celebrate those moments. So we're happy that you're here with us and that you're celebrating with us and we're finding the joy and the magic. And let's do that in
let's
our
do
community.
That.
That's awesome. Yes.
And before you outro us, I want to give a plug because the Health Foundation's annual meeting is this upcoming Monday, June 8th at the Glen Massey.
Nope.
Menard
Center.
At the Menard.
Nope.
It's a new event center at the fairgrounds. I have a rotary. Okay, nope. Watch this. And before you guys go, I just want to plug that the Health Foundation's annual meeting is June 8th, this upcoming Monday, at the new event center at the Palmer Fairgrounds.
Beautiful. Doors open at 5:30.
I'm very excited to get to go. And also, a quick shout out to Cherry and Aaron for helping me on the communication side. And like all three Jessies that work at the Health Foundation now, and
so
Telsha
fun.
And Rachel and everyone that serves Supper Club. It, like we said at the beginning, it's been so great getting to know All of the Health Foundation employees and Amy and Jim, because that was like my favorite supper club conversation that we had with Tyler
amazing.
When all three of us were just there. We talked for like an extra hour. It's just been awesome to get to know everyone over there over the course of the last 6 months.
Nice.
Yeah. Same here. Thank you guys for your time and having us today.
Yeah. Very fun. I want to thank Esther and Tyler for being here and for all the things that you do in our community that are just warm and encouraging. The My House podcast is recorded at the My House studio in Wasilla, Alaska. Our producer and editor is Ozzie Keener. For Isaac Smolden, I'm Michelle Overstreet. Until next time.